You say you're doing very well on all these new songs that we've been introducing to you. What wonderful, wonderful words. Well, I did not have a brand new handout sheet tonight, but I did have one that we passed out last week, but we did not ever get to it last Sunday night, so it'll be new to us, but I didn't even look. Did we get all of them used up tonight? Did they all get taken again tonight? I didn't even notice. But last week, as an introduction to our study, I read A Tour of Heaven by Matthew Henry. I want to reread that again tonight. It says this. Here's Matthew Henry answering some questions. Said, "Would you like to know where I am? I am at home in my Father's house, in the mansion prepared for me. I am where I want to be, no longer on the stormy sea, but in God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done, and I am reaping. My joy is the joy of the harvest. Would you like to know how it is with me? I am made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in victory. Would you like to know what I am doing? I see God, not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I am engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I am singing hallelujahs to Him who sits upon the throne, and I am constantly praising Him. Would you like to know what blessed company I keep? It is better than the best of earth. Here are the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances with whom I have worked and prayed and have come here before me. Lastly, would you like to know how long this will continue? It is a dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me." Some of you, again, are aware that this past week, Sue and I had opportunity to go over to Bennington, Vermont, and to attend a funeral service for one of the parents of some of the students that used to attend our academy. And to begin the whole service, the pastor read to everyone who was there an email that he got from Mrs. Reynolds just days before she died. And because of my knowledge of Mrs. Reynolds and my acquaintanceship with her, I understood a lot of that email. She was a very detail-oriented person. And she had a very firm personality. She probably got where she got in life because of that firmness. Her husband said she didn't just look for open doors, she knocked them open. And so that was Mrs. Reynolds. But she gave very detailed instructions about her funeral service. And I believe the pastor carried them out the best he could that day. But it was a real blessing. You know, oftentimes we think about heaven during the time when somebody dies. But isn't it wonderful tonight that we're thinking about heaven and all the glories of heaven that await us when we get there? Remember our slide. I don't have it up here tonight, but remember our slide that we've been showing that has kind of a panorama of the whole book of the Revelation. And now in these last several chapters, we are finding there are seven new things. And I want to review those seven new things. We've looked at some of them, but I want to review all these seven new things. And so if you look at on your notes at A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you have seven new things. And let's just kind of discover these. Some of them are not new to our thinking. We've already discovered them. But let's just turn our thoughts toward heaven again. And the first new thing is a new heaven. Right? A new heaven. There in verse 1 of chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven. And certainly all of creation has been tainted, been affected by sin. And because all of creation has been affected by sin, then the Lord Jesus Christ has made all things new, and that includes a new heaven. And then he's also made what in verse 1? The second new thing is a new earth. Same verse. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard, verse 3, a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So there is going to be, are going to be in heaven, new people. That verse 3 says, he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. So we have new people. God has already made us new in Christ, but we are going to be in a new setting. We're going to be in a new body. We're going to be in a new relationship that's face to face with Christ. And so we're going to be some new people. And these bodies that have decayed and grown old and full of pain and sorrow are going to be brand new. And so we're going to have new people. Then in 21:9, we have a fourth new thing. And there in verse 9 it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then as we read clear on through, we're going to see, we're not going to read all of it right now, but verse 22 says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And then 22:7, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so we have a fourth new thing, and it's described for us here. We saw and have read in the last weeks about the walls and the gates and the measures of the city. And so we have a new Jerusalem. So the fourth thing is a new Jerusalem. Heaven, earth, new people, new Jerusalem. And then we just read in verse 22 of chapter 21, and I saw no temple therein. So we have a new what? Temple. A new temple. Who's the temple? God and Christ are the temple of it. And then verse 23 and following, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And we can go on down through and read clear through verse 36. Must be a different, that must not be 36 because there's no 36. But going down through 27, and we have a new light. God is going to be the light. There's no sun, and so God is going to be the new light thereof and the Lamb. And then the seventh new thing is described for us, and it's this new garden, a new paradise garden of God. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So we have seven new things in heaven. Jesus makes all things new. It was wonderful to hear many of your testimonies this morning as you told about when you met Christ. And I had heard the majority of your testimonies before, but isn't it wonderful to rehearse what God has done in our lives and made us all new people for him? Then let's just look very quickly at some characteristics of heaven. Need we say heaven is beautiful? We have described it here several times in chapter 21 especially. Heaven is beautiful. Need we say heaven is huge? 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And we know how many people could fit within a range of 1,500 miles on one level. Just think if there was a level at every mile interval. And so you had a level and a level and a level and a level for 1,500 miles high. How many people and beings that could accommodate. So heaven is huge. And then heaven is perfect. Heaven is perfect. And many of the verses that we have been reading here talk about its light and its walls and its gates and its foundations and its dimensions and its materials and its inhabitants. We've read over and over that there's not going to be anything there that's going to defile. It's hard to imagine something that's perfect, isn't it? Because all of our lives we are surrounded by that which is imperfect. I don't care what meal you've ever had. There's probably been something about that meal that was imperfect. Probably the fact that you got full too quick or something like that. But there's no such thing as a perfectly perfect thing here on this earth. But when we get to heaven, it's going to be a perfect place. There's going to be nothing there that's going to defile. There's going to be perfect fellowship. Sin affects our fellowship today, doesn't it? Selfishness affects our fellowship. There's going to be none of that in heaven. It's going to be perfect fellowship. There's going to be perfect consolation. God's going to wipe away all tears, and then sorrow's not going to be any longer. So there's going to be perfect consolation. There's going to be perfect living and perfect joy and perfect health. There's going to be perfect, uninterrupted sustenance and supply. There's never going to be a time when we're going to lack anything. Never. There will be perfect worship. There will be perfect illumination. God is the light. Perfect security. And perfect refreshment. Heaven is going to be a perfect place. And now let's just read on here for a moment. In verse 22, we stopped at verse 5. Let's go on to verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, now he's giving kind of a summary statement of everything he's seen from chapter 1 on. And he says, I saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. What do you think verse 10 and 11 are telling us? That once we get to this point, everything is settled. There's no turning back. There's no changing. There's no repentance. There's no more sin. There's no more sorrow. That everything will now be in its permanent, eternal state. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of the life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What a book. What a description of God's judgment. And what a description of God's grace. I remember in college when I took this book in my studies. I had a very short man named Dr. Weeks. Dr. Weeks stood about this tall. Dr. Weeks would come in every class session and quote for us some verse about Jesus Christ from this book. I remember the day that he quoted verses 12 and 13 from this last chapter. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What has this book been? A revelation of Jesus Christ. And our goal has not, I'm not quite finished yet, but our goal has not been just to be able to tell everything that's going to happen like this through the book. Our goal has been to see Jesus Christ and to know Christ better. Because this is a revelation of Christ. And the last words that Jesus spoke that are recorded here for us is, "Surely I come quickly." I'm looking around the room, and I know all of you tonight. And I really believe that, as far as I know, every one of you have professed to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm glad about that. But never, never, never forget, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And if there's any doubt, even the slightest doubt, that you're not ready for heaven, please don't leave this place tonight until you're sure of that. Let's pray. Lord, we've taken a rather long journey through this book. We're going to conclude things next Sunday night. But Father, through this entire passage, we want to see Jesus high and lifted up and holy, that mighty one of heaven, that one who is co-equal with God the Father, co-equal in majesty and glory, co-equal in power and authority. And Father, I pray that we might have a greater awe of who he is and a greater awe of what he's done and what yet awaits us in eternity. Father, during the next several weeks, as we go through our daily responsibilities, I pray that the Spirit of God would just bring back to our hearts and minds some truths out of this book. And when the Spirit does that, Father, may we just pause and reflect and thank God for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we anticipate that day, and we do pray, as was prayed here in this, to come quickly. Even so, Lord, come quickly. For we long for your presence, and we long for your wonderful, beautiful place called heaven. Some of us have several loved ones who've already gone before, and we long for fellowship with them, but even more than that, we long for fellowship with you. Lord, it's wonderful to pray and to read your word and have our devotions, but it's another thing when we get to heaven and see you face to face. That will be glory, glory for me. Again, bless this study to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.